full force ahead with basketball today. Everything else out of the way. Prep Sports Now, Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. We're just going to talk about basketball from here on forward. I got to be honest, one thing I really do like about basketball season, and specifically high school basketball season when we're out covering games, Ray, is it's a lot less predictable, I think. If you just look at our winning percentage in the picks, which I just put together for this week, our first week of basketball, I think last year I picked about 70% of the games right. You were about 67-68%, and that still sounds really good, but compared to football, where, you know, you're hitting 8 out of every 10, a lot more parity, a lot more teams can beat any team on any given day, and I think that's why I'm excited for basketball to get underway.
Yeah, in fact, you were, and first of all, I guess it pains me that we can't talk high school football, because I've got at least two good tidbits of information I'd like to share, but what we're strictly focused on the hardwood, that's our number one focus. But earlier today, you were telling me about how Foothill beat Palo, right?
Foothill beat Palo, first game of the year.
First game of the year. And then Foothill lost to Canyon.
By like 15.
Okay, and then I'm trying to set you up here.
Yeah.
And then Palo goes and destroys Canyon.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, none of it made sense. I don't know. You lost me there somewhere.
I guess I delivered it well.
There was this crazy thing in between Foothill, Coronado, Palo Verde, and Canyon Springs. They all beat each other, and they all beat each other like convincingly by like 15 points. Where if you're looking at the schedule blind, trying to figure out which one of these teams is the best, which, let's be honest, we pretty much are,
yeah.
You're looking at they all beat each other, and you're saying, wow, like, what is going on here? One team beats one by 15, the next one beats one by 15.
And Coronado and Valley were in the mix, too.
Yeah, Valley was in the mix, too. Valley's the last one. Valley, Foothill beat Valley, I think maybe 6 or 7 points pretty easily. Or Valley beat Foothill, excuse me, pretty easily. And then I watched part of the Coronado-Valley game Sunday on TV.
Congratulations on
and
that.
Yeah, because you told me to. You said to switch it over. And Coronado beat Valley pretty handedly. So it just doesn't make any sense. It's hard to figure out. I guess we need to go out and see these teams with our eyeballs, which we're going to start to do this week.
Yeah, bottom line, I guess in hoop is any given day anybody could win. I know Canyon Springs, you'll be at one of their games this week. They lost basically everybody from last year. New coach in Freddie Banks, the UNLV legend, who I'm sure his jump shot's better than his coaching ability at this stage in his game. They've got a few good players we know of, Shaquille Carr. But other than that, I think they're pretty young and inexperienced and undersized. And for them to, I think the loss they had to Palo, which I think is probably a little more of a veteran team with a good backcourt, might be kind of an indicator of what Canyon, the defending state champions, are going to look like.
Yeah, I think Canyon last year, I think they had about 13 kids that I would say contributed. If I remember this right, about 13 kids that played, you know, some minutes and contributed. I think one of them is on the team this year, and he was on near the bottom. I think he's a kid forward, and I don't know his name off the top of my head, Jones or something. He's one of their better players, along with Shaquille Powell.
Shaquille Carr.
You still got me in football mode where they get Shaquille Powell signed to Duke. As soon as I hear Shaquille, it's been so many years Shaquille Powell has just dominated at Gorman football. The Powell just comes out of my mouth.
Let me ask you this. When I say Shaquille, do you think O'Neal or Powell?
Honestly, especially when we're in this room, since we only talk about high school sports in this podcast room, I think Powell.
Yeah. I think the thing is, you know, we talk to a lot of folks that listen to our podcast, and they're like, Brewer, your levels are so low. Kiefer's levels are, you know, off the charts. What are you guys doing? Are you in a different room? No, we're like 2 feet across from each other. We're in an all-black studio. We're not smart enough to figure out how the levels work. We know how to adjust them. We just don't know how to patch it into the switchboard of the computer. And we have a TV that's always on the NBC affiliate because of our partnership with KSNV.
And always has soap operas at this time of the day.
Soap operas are, what's that one doctor show that we always watch? Right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mostly soap operas, though.
Yeah, so mostly soap operas. But I don't know. Listen, I was at the Gorman-Durango game. Shabazz Muhammad, 30 points. Windmill dunks, breakaway dunks. A dunk. It was like a slam dunk contest. He was very impressive. Roscoe Allen, Case, 6'9". What a jump shot, dude. What a pretty-looking stroke from the outside. He definitely has that mid-range game. And I know going into the year, I had told you, or I told everybody, I'd never been at a game where Roscoe really, like, just took over. And he didn't take over against Durango, only had 9 points. But just to see that shot, and he's going to give a lot of teams some matchup problems because he's going to play the three, maybe sometimes the two. And to be able to post somebody up with his size, he'd be a center on most teams, and then to be able to step out and hit that J.
Yeah, I've always thought, I know this is something we've talked about ever since Roscoe Allen kind of came on the radar maybe 3 years ago, is his game is kind of misleading. If you just look at pictures of the kid, or, I mean, look at his size, you'd think he wouldn't really be that versatile. You know, you'd think, especially in high school, he'd be more of a guy that's inside, you know, grabbing rebounds, throwing it to in the post. But really, he's a guy that does everything, and when he's at his best, he's able to score anyway, and it sounds like the first game you went to this weekend, that's what he was able to do.
Minus some foul trouble. What I love about any team that plays Gorman, clearly the game of the year, the game they have circled on the schedule. So Gorman's up double digits within like 4 minutes, all right? The outcome is pretty much secure with, I don't know, 28 minutes left in the game. But every time Durango would score, I was kind of by the Durango parent section. Parents were jumping up like they just hit a game-winning shot. Like, huge accomplishment. My kid scored against Gorman. And then there were some kids from Durango where every time they scored, they, like, looked at the Gorman bench and pounded themselves in the chest. And I'm like, really? You're down by 30? Like, we had the running clock in that game for most of the third quarter, which, by the way, is a great invention. I would have voted for that 10 years ago.
Yeah, my first reaction was to agree with you and say, yeah, you're losing by too much. Why would you tell her? But then, you know, I think about it. I try to put myself in a high schooler's shoes, which I actually didn't play basketball in high school. Well, my freshman year, I didn't play after that. But I'm thinking, if you're a kid like a Durango that just loves basketball, loves playing, you're thinking a couple years down the road, I'm going to be watching TV with some of my friends. I'm going to see some team that's awful now, like the, I don't know, what's a really bad basketball team right now, the Bobcats or
the
something.
The Miami Heat?
No, not the Miami Heat. I'm a huge Heat fan, for the record, which will probably come up on this. But like the Bobcats, you're going to see Shabazz Muhammad running down the floor, and you're going to tell, hey, I scored 10 points in a game against this guy two years ago. I think that's something that's always going to live with them. So look, Gorman might be annoyed by it, but I don't really have any problem with
think they
kids.
Were I was annoyed.
By okay, you annoyed, but people might be annoyed by it, but I don't actually. Once I think about it and give some thought, I don't have a problem with kids being excited that even if their team's losing by 30, that they do some positive things.
It's like that kid from Clark this year in football, Kenton McKinney, maybe. Gorman was up like 40-0, and the kid broke one loose, 80 yards, touchdown. Like, Gorman's defense went to the left or whatever, and the kid ran to the right. He could have walked in. That's how open he was. Now, I don't know how the kid reacted, but if you're that kid, you do like a – do you beat your chest? Do you go hug a bunch of people? Do you – I mean, you're down 5, 6, 7 touchdowns, but yet you just broke free against Gorman.
Yeah, I mean, you'd give a – I don't know what the right word is – a sedated celebration. I mean, you're happy, but – I don't think there's any problem with that. I think that a lot of these teams know that you're not going to compete with Gorman. Anything is a win in and of itself. But, I mean, I know this is – anyone that listens to this is going to totally disagree with me, but I'm just trying to take a different standpoint, you know?
You're good. You're good. Have I given you my high school basketball story before?
I don't think so.
Okay. I went to Chaparral High freshman year, which was the year before Green Valley and Cheyenne opened. So – we had all the great athletes from Green Valley and Cheyenne. So like 100 kids tried out for freshman basketball and JV baseball. Absolutely unheard of. So, you know, I was a decent basketball player. I was always tall for my age. And, you know, I knew the rules, and I was competitive, and I was semi-athletic. Not even close to making the basketball team, Case. And I didn't, like, embarrass myself in tryouts. You know, I made shots. I came up with steals. I hustled. You know, my parents didn't buy me the high-top shoes because they wanted me to make the team first. But by far did not embarrass myself. You know, I thought it was a good representation of my athletic ability. 90 kids try out. They keep 15. The Durango, I watched part of the Durango-Gorman JV game. I'm telling you right now, there was kids on that Durango JV team that would have got cut from that Chaparral freshman team. I mean, it's just the when the schools opened in this town, the quality of play just went down almost immediately. Not enough good players to fill the rosters, especially the lower levels, and the coaching is downright awful. you know, it's embarrassing. Like, kids can't shoot. They can't dribble. You know, I've seen church league games that go better. Honest to God, church league games that have better players when I was a kid.
Well,
just one man's view.
I mean, it makes sense, of course, that when the schools open, the talent is going to get, you know, more spread out, and it's not going to be the same. So are you saying, what I'm trying to interpret here, were you very unimpressed with Durango? They had a pretty decent year last year. I thought they were having some guys back. Are they going to be okay this year, or are you saying?
I like Durango. I like Coach Henry. I like Paris Estrada a lot. He's a sophomore who at one point was on UNLV's recruiting radar. Kid plays kind of volleyball and soccer, too, so – you know, he's kind of back. I know it's an odd combination.
They have boys volleyball.
Yeah, in the spring.
Oh, well, I didn't know. Yeah. I'm not being that disrespectful. I just honestly did not know that.
So they've got some nice players, but they just have no size. It's tough to measure a team against Gorman. Bottom line, but you know, it's just it speaks volumes about the lower levels. You got a bunch of skinny kids. I don't know. It is what it is.
Well, last year in that league, I mean, Gorman dominated. Didn't lose a game, of course, but. Sierra Vista was pretty competitive. I think they had three games with them. All of them, but, you know, for a while they hung with them. If you look at that Southwest Division this year, I'm guessing Durango's not going to answer the question. Are there any teams that you think could give Gorman a run? At least keep it close, not win necessarily.
You would like to think Clark could keep it close with, you know, the Washingtons coming over and a few other transfers. But, I mean, Gorman was just so deep and so good and so tall. And remember, you know, Shabazz at 6'6" is their fourth smallest player in the starting lineup. Nobody has that size. It's that simple. Just got a text message from somebody. It's kind of like a live caller. Where are some of the kids going? And he lists three kids. It's like we're getting a call-in radio show all of a sudden.
Yeah, interesting. But yes. That goes back to football, right? He's asking about football.
Yeah, we're off of football. I'm not going to tell him we're off of football, but
yeah. Although to transition from Gorman, do you have any final thoughts on Gorman before we talk about some other teams?
I'm done. I'm done on
since you brought the text up on the podcast. Since we're going to kind of let the text dictate what direction we go in now. One of the kids I think I just saw him mention was Hassan Henderson, mm-hmm. who also plays basketball for Las Vegas High. When I saw them last year, I was very impressed with Hassan. I thought he was a good basketball player. Las Vegas High, what do you think about their shot this year in the Northeast?
Well, I think the Northeast is one of the better leagues in town. Between Canyon, Vegas, El Dorado, DP, and Valley, I think you got five teams that could win.
What about Shap?
I didn't even bring up Shap, who I think is on the outside looking in this year. But I think you got five pretty electric and exciting teams. And then if you combine Foothill and Coronado from the Northeast, I think you got, like you did in football, six teams that could you can make an argument that could definitely win. We'll see a lot about Vegas this week when they play Canyon Springs at Canyon Springs. Always a tough place to play, and you know Canyon Springs is athletic, is the defending state league champions, and plays Vegas every game like they're playing the Super Bowl in every sport.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you gave us the rundown on the Northeast. That's a big game this week in the Northeast.
Let's go to our picks.
Las Vegas at Canyon. We're going to go to picks, but I was going to get your thoughts just really quick because you mentioned a Foothill Coronado. We'll get to the picks, but I wanted to ask you to kind of give us a similar rundown in the Southeast because I find it kind of interesting right now. Me and you both think Foothill Coronado, the top two teams, they're going to work for the top spot, right? But they've started 1-2. You've got some 3-0 teams.
Yeah, but look at who they're playing.
Yep, that's what I knew. That's what I was setting you up to talk about. We got some 3-0 teams, though, so maybe a 4-0 team in basic. I think Green Valley's had a struggle to start the year, but Silverado also undefeated.
Let me start off by telling you basic has played the equivalent. Basic is that small-town school in Henderson. And they've played a small-town schedule. They're, like, at Virgin Valley, playing Boulder City. It's not like they're going and challenging the big guns. They play Foothill this week, I believe, tomorrow. It'll be a nice little wake-up call. Welcome back to reality. Now, Foothill's got – I mean, Basic's got a new
coach. They've
still
got Devontae Boyd, right? That's all that matters.
Your favorite guy, Devontae Boyd, who is – it looks like he hasn't lifted a weight since you got your man crush on him 2 years ago. But the new coach in Leonard Taylor, who's a basic grad like every other coach at basic, Devontae Boyd is a good player. And I think basic might be – I didn't think Silverado would be this good. They're putting up some impressive scores. If you would have asked me this time last week, I would say Coronado Foothill in the 1-2 spot, flip and match however you want. And then I really thought Basic was a solid three because the league is so down. You know, Del Sol's bad, Liberty's bad, Green Valley, I guess with the exception of Darrell McDonald, is bad, right? And Silverado, I thought, was bad as well. But Silverado, you just don't score that many points. I don't care who you're playing. I think Silverado might be a solid three, and maybe they could sneak up and steal one.
I guess so. We'll talk more about this and get to the picks. I agree with some of what you're saying. I think even though they start at 1-2, this is Coronado versus Foothill for the Southeast. I don't know about some of the other teams. We'll have to see how it shakes out. To recap, Basic did miss the playoffs last year, correct?
It
on the last day, a play-in game, right?
Silverado on right. Valentine's Day. We sent Ed Houth, our worthy intern, who we have got a full-time job to, and as a graduating college on Saturday, but he'll still be covering the Wranglers that day.
All right. Well, probably more information than you wanted to know. Brewer's already quick to get to it, so let's go there now. We're going to go to our picks every week on LasVegasSun.com. If you're not familiar, from football season, we're going to post our picks probably about 10 games a week, 8 to 10 games a week. We got 8 games that we're looking at this week. I beat Brewer by about 7 games last year.
He
came back and beat me in football, but let's jump right in. We disagree on a few games this week. Why don't we go ahead and start with the game we've already talked about, Basic at Foothill. You've got Foothill knocking Basic back down to earth, I suppose.
I do. I think Foothill, all I know is that Foothill basically has the same team that almost beat Canyon last year. That was a baloney tipping away from arguably winning the state championship. I love the kid Cox and how he stretches the floor offensively with his three-point ability, and I think Foothill makes a statement. I think this one could get double digits easily.
All right, well, you totally contradict yourself in the picks where you said this is going to be too close for comfort for Foothill. Good way to start, though. I actually agree with your
I've been so negative. I tried to keep it close early because I like Coach Taylor, but yeah,
I agree with your podcast assessment more than your picks assessment. I don't think it's going to be close. I like Foothill to roll here, and I'm going to be honest. I watched a little bit of Coronado Sunday. I've kind of looked at the team since I knew we were going to be doing this podcast. Foothill has virtually everyone back. I know Coronado's got Louder. They've got some other kids over there, but Coronado lost a little bit too. I'm actually going to tell you right here, and you're going to be stunned because I was a big Coronado backer all year. I like Foothill to win the Southeast. I think they're going to be better than Coronado this year.
What about all the move-ins Coronado had? They've got, like, a whole new team.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I think there's more questions with Coronado, right? Is that fair?
I
think we know what we're going to get
unproven,
in Foothill.
Unproven.
Unproven, right.
Unproven.
All right, we'll go to the next game up to the Northeast, also on Tuesday night. El Dorado at your Chaparral Cowboys. I guess we can break the myth in the first week that you always pick Chaparral because you're all over El Dog in this game.
Yeah, here's the deal. El Dorado has had a lot of young talent last year, and even though they lost Jacobs to to Desert Pines, they're still a good team. Your boy Daquan Thrower throwing it down. And, I mean, they scored 50 against Finley Prep. Even though they lost by 50, I think that's a major victory.
I think they only got to 47, but
50-47.
We can round it up. It's a game that I know you're looking forward to. I'll be out there. Las Vegas High in Canyon Springs. Last year, you picked Las Vegas to go undefeated and win the state championship pretty much, and it seems like you have not learned from your mistakes. You have Las Vegas winning again here.
If you would take all the times in football and basketball that I picked Vegas and they lost, I would have won both easily. Last year, I fell in love with Vegas early to a fault. They almost beat Coronado in the playoffs. I just don't see how Hassan Henderson, a senior man, loses to a team of sophomores. Bottom line, I'm picking Vegas.
All right, now if you listen to our football podcast, you know one of the most popular things we did every week was make a $5 bet.
Oh,
I think that we ended up going even for the year. Am I right, or did you wind up ahead? I'm pretty sure we were even.
We pushed, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask you: is this the game? Do you want some numbers
on
this game? We can make this our game this week because I like Canyon.
Yeah, I like Vegas, but I think they'd be a dog if we had a bet.
Yeah, so what, 4.5, 5?
I'll
or
take it
more?
Five.
All right, 5. I'm taking Canyon Springs minus 5. Here's the deal. I do like your bet. I like what you're going with Las Vegas because you know Las Vegas is talented. I think Canyon Springs is more talented. The problem is, like you said, they're a young team. You don't know. you're going to get some varied performances from them. But I'm thinking, you know, league opener. I think this is the league opener, at least. I think they're going to be inspired and play well.
They're playing league games in the second or third week of December. I mean, if you go and win the state championship in football and you got kids that play hoop, which every school does, you don't even have kids eligible for that first game.
Yeah, that's pretty...
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But I like Vegas. I'll take Vegas plus the 5, and I might even put some money on the money line.
All right, I like Canyon Springs. 5, I think you made a good play there. That'll be our first $5 bet of the year, though.
Phil Dunnigan to Hassan Henderson all night, baby.
Oh, that Dunnigan kid, he's good. I remember him.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go. Right. But Shaquille Carr, not Shaquille Powell. Make me proud. Okay. Wednesday night, Northwest Division Legacy at Centennial. What do you think about this one?
I think, like we've probably talked a few times, the Northwest has really got some teams. No game is easy in the Northwest. And Legacy's an improving program. There's no doubt they've got some good players. Centennial, class of the league. I think Centennial's going to win, but I think an important note is that eventually Centennial and Palo are going to lose a Cheyenne or a Legacy or somebody in
Cimarron.
That. I don't know about Cimarron, but somebody like that, just because it's so tough to navigate that league undefeated. I don't think it's going to happen against Legacy, but it's going to happen eventually for Centennial and for Palo.
Are we rewriting history? You realize that Cimarron came in third last year and had a bunch of juniors on that team in the Northwest. Well, was that just a fluke? What are you telling me?
Listen, I'm telling you, do you want to go $5 on if Cimarron makes the playoffs?
We don't do season long here on the thing, but I will say I'm picking Cimarron to make the playoffs.
Okay, because I would give you 5. I'd give you 10 that they don't make the playoffs.
All right, well, I'm picking them. We'll refrain from putting any money on this one. We don't want to set a bad example.
Okay.
But I'm taking Cimarron. In this game, I got Centennial. Do you look at the Northwest kind of the way I look at it, kind of like the Southeast? It's going to be Centennial or Palo, like it's going to be Coronado or Foothill?
Exactly.
All right.
I do.
I'm glad we cleared that up. I've got Centennial in this game. Yeah, you have them 72-60. Sounds about right to me. Centennial all the way. Thursday night, this is a pretty intriguing game. Desert Pines at El Dorado. Desert Pines, their coach is El Dorado's old coach, if I'm not mistaken.
Mike Uzane, who is a graduate of El Dorado.
Right, and he brought about 4 kids from El Dorado over to Desert Pines, including one of their 2 best players, Julian Jacobs. So this is really interesting. All these kids know each other. They've played together. What do you think about this game?
Let's be honest. If there was a way to consolidate athletic programs at high schools, those 2 teams would be the same. They're close to each other. There's not enough numbers to make quality teams at either school. You see it in football every year. You know, Sunrise Mountain didn't need to open and take athletes from both programs. And they're going to get together and play. And you can't help but thinking when they're on the court, wouldn't it be great if it was one team?
They'd probably be the second best team around. Yeah. I could argue. You could argue, at least.
Who would be the first best?
Gorman?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Forgot they're around. Okay.
Yeah.
I like El Dorado. It's their home gym. Desert Pines might have a few good players, but probably 4 through 10, they're very weak. And I don't think having a quality one like Jacobs is going to make up for it. Humble opinion.
I kind of hate that I have to pick Desert Pines in this game, but I just honestly look at this. I think it's a pick 'em game. I think it's a total coin flip, could go either way. And since you're picking El Dorado, I feel like I have to pick Desert Pines, even though I'm going to tell you, you've mentioned it earlier, I love the thrower kid. I feel like from you, he doesn't get the respect he deserves, because all you ever talked about last year were L-Dog was Julian Jacobs. Well, I go see L-Dog a couple times, and Thrower's putting up 25. Both times, I think he had more points than Jacobs.
Because Jacobs is giving him the rock,
they
baby.
Average about, if you look at their stats, they're almost the exact same stats.
I know,
so I love the Thrower kid.
The only reason why the Thrower kid was good is because he had everybody marking Julian Jacobs, and Jacobs was feeding him the rock.
So you're saying he's not going to be any good this year?
I'm just saying he's Scottie Pippen. And Julian Jacobs is Michael Jordan.
I disagree, but I got to go with Julian Jacobs in this one. I'm taking Desert Pines to beat El Dorado in a really close game. I think this one's going to go down to the wire.
And that'll be our game of the week. We'll be there with our TV crew and everything.
Well, there you go. I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Breaking news here on Prep Sports Now. Next game that night, another game I disagree with you on. Green Valley at Silverado. This is just a repeat of last year. I told you last year, I think probably this exact same week, we should go back and listen to the archives. I said Green Valley was going to make the playoffs, and you laughed in here. You said they weren't any good, blah, blah, blah. Green Valley was no good.
Lucky to beat Coronado.
They were the number three. They were the third best team in the Southeast easily last year, and I think they possibly could be again. Silverado played really good defense, but last year the team, they couldn't really score. They didn't really have any super athletic kids.
It's a new year.
I like Green Valley in this game.
I think Green Valley's got one player who is off the charts in McDonald, and I think he's probably going to be shooting way too much. And this is Silverado. They're gonna cement themselves as a solid three in that league. Skyhooks!
If we didn't have that $5 bet already, I would definitely offer you the over-under in this game because you have Silverado scoring 73. If I remember last year, I don't know if they scored 73 in two games combined. Every one of their scores was like, and this isn't a knock on them. I know they want to play good defense, but every one of their scores was like 49-46, 53-40. You have them scoring 73 points on Thursday night. What is going on with this?
They're getting to the line, baby. They're stretching the game out. Maybe some OTs.
All right. Well, I got Green Valley. We're going to disagree on that one. Let's jump over to Friday night. Battle for the Banner, or at least that's what it is in football. I doubt that's what it is in basketball. Bonanza and Spring Valley. What do you think about this game?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't, to be honest with you, I know about one or two players on each team. Don't know much about them, but I know two things. I know, and I will continue to argue this until I'm blue in the face and wrong, but I think Spring Valley's got a lot of athletes walking through that campus. They weren't that bad last year. It is what it is. I just think they're better altogether than Bonanza, and I'm taking the Grizz.
Yeah, I actually I agree and disagree with you on this game. I agree with you that the Grizzlies win, but I think the Grizzlies win easy. When we first talked about this game, you said you didn't really know who to pick. You didn't know how this game would be. I think Spring Valley is on another level than Bonanza. If we look at last year, they were a win away. They got upset in the final game of the season to finish in fifth, or else they would have made the playoffs. I remember talking about this kid last year on the podcast, so this makes him one of my favorite players in the whole region. He was a freshman last year, Sean Clancy. I think he's a point guard or guard. Great player. I think he's going to have a breakout year for Spring Valley. They also got...
who at this moment still hasn't played a game yet, but...
Yeah, they haven't played a game yet. Yeah, you're right. They also got this Deshaun Nolan's kid who's a senior. I think Spring Valley makes the playoffs this year, and I think they're going to beat up on Bonanza. They're going to get back at him for Bonanza finally winning that football game this year.
All right. Disagree.
Spring Valley, last game, Friday night. Cheyenne at Cimarron Memorial.
We're talking
about teams that play great defense, kind of like Silverado. Cimarron also plays really good defense.
I'm probably, Case, 100% certain that Cheyenne's going to win football and basketball in state next year.
Oh, because they have a smaller...
Yeah. I mean, just sick athletically over there. I love Cheyenne. They put it to Clark already. I think this Cheyenne team might be as... They're the solid three in that Northwest, and I think they're going to give Paolo and Centennial a fight. I love Cheyenne. Chi-town!
I guess I'm going to give you one here. I'm going with the upset, Cimarron. I feel like you got to pick an upset. I agree that Cheyenne should be favored here, should win. But, hey, I'm always a sucker for Cimarron. So Spartans, let's go on Friday night. Let's upset Cheyenne.
Always nice to have a little action on high school basketball.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back every Monday. Prep Sports Now.